Well, last lesson we spent the entire time explaining and clarifying Titus 3, 4 through 8, and we ain't through yet. We didn't quite finish with this exposition of these verses, so I'm going to read this passage again and talk about two different meanings of the words eternal life. The Greek word actually, zoen aionian, life eternal. So though that verses Titus 3, 4 through 8 says this, "But when the kindness of God our Savior and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior." So there in verses 4 through 6 is initial salvation, born again, or justified. And in verse 7 it says, "That having been justified by His grace, we might be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." So this is showing us that God, He's saving us for a purpose. That having been justified by His grace, the purpose then that we might be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And then verse 8, "This is a trustworthy statement, and concerning these things I want you to speak confidently." Paul's telling Timothy, "I want you to be able to speak confidently about this, so that those who have believed God," in other words, they've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, they're saved, they're born again, "that those who have believed God may be careful to engage in good deeds." And good deeds would be works of faith, be the life of Christ flowing through us. "These things are good and profitable for men." So, let's just go back and remember that verses 4 through 6, that's just our initial salvation, that's born again, that's being justified. And then we pick up with verse 7, and it tells us that we have been saved for a purpose. And it kind of gives us a glimpse of what that wonderful purpose really is. Let's read verse 7 again. "That having been justified, we might be made heirs." So heirship is part of that purpose that we're saved for. Heirship, having the hope of eternal life. We're heirs and we have this hope of eternal life. And then it goes on about the trustworthy statement. But what we're going to need to focus on is verse 7. And last lesson we told you that the words heirs and hope and eternal life need more explanation. And Carol gave a good explanation of the first two of those words. Heirs, that has to do with inheritance. And the second word, of hope. Using many scriptures, she showed us that God is giving us an opportunity to be co-heirs with Christ in His coming thousand-year reign on the earth. That's like 2 Timothy 2:12 says, "If we endure, we'll reign with Him." If we endure, we'll reign with Him. So that reigning with Him has to do with being a co-heir and a co-ruler with Him. So God is preparing us through various trials, etc., to reign with Christ. Now, to reign with Christ, this is the reward. When we speak of the reward at the judgment seat of Christ, so gaining a reward, suffering loss, this is what we're speaking of. We're speaking of this reward of the inheritance, of being able to reign with Christ. So to receive this reward of the inheritance, we must be faithful in living this life of faith as long as we live here on the earth. Now, last teaching, Carol also took you to many scriptures on the word hope, in order to help you see that hope looks forward to a goal, a prize that God has set before us. Now, what I intend to do is to help us to understand what is meant by the hope of eternal life. Eternal life as a goal, or as a reward, or something that I hope for. So as we read verse 7 again, that having been justified by his grace, we might be made heirs, having the hope of eternal life. Now, this might not seem to make good sense to you, having the hope of eternal life. The hope of eternal life. You might say, I don't hope I have eternal life. I know that I have eternal life, and it was given to me as a free gift the moment I believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that certainly would be true. In order for this phrase, the hope of eternal life, to make sense, we must understand that the phrase eternal life has two different meanings according to the context in which it is used. This phrase, eternal life, has two different meanings. And we need to understand what both of them are, because they differ according to the context in which it is used. So the meaning that we're all very familiar with is when eternal life is spoken of as a free gift. It's a free gift of everlasting life, which we've received when we first believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is a gift which cannot be lost. And I think that's well understood by most believers. The other meaning of eternal life is one that most people are not so familiar with. And it's related not to the gift of God, but to the goal and the prize that God has put before us. God tells us that we should study diligently so that we can rightly divide the Word of God. And this is a good example of the need to rightly divide. On the one hand, eternal life, the gift of God. On the other hand, eternal life, the reward, which is given to the good and faithful servant at the judgment seat of Christ. So, eternal life, the gift, eternal life, the reward. You know what you need to be saying to me right now? You need to be saying, show me. You need to be saying what the Bereans were saying, is, I can't wait to get home because I'm going to look this up for myself. But show me from Scripture that there are two meanings to eternal life. One related to the free gift, which cannot be lost, and one related to gaining a reward that at the judgment seat of Christ, which I may or I may not. Well, before I illustrate these from Scripture, I need to remind you of something which we have talked about before, and that's the meaning of the Greek word for eternal life. That literal meaning of the Greek word, zoen aionian, which is usually translated eternal life, is actually life age lasting. Zoen aionian is the phrase that is repeatedly, over and over, almost always, translated eternal life. But when you look in the Greek interlinear and you read the literal meaning, it doesn't say eternal life, it says life, zoen, age lasting, aionian. So when we understand that, it makes it a little bit easier for us to understand how this translation of eternal life can mean two different things. Age lasting could easily refer to the millennial age, the 1,000-year age of Christ's reign on the earth. Age lasting. It also means the ages upon ages upon ages. Now let's just look at some scriptures where eternal life, age lasting life, is given freely as a gift. And at other scriptures where eternal life or age lasting life is earned as a reward. In Jody Dillow's book, The Reign of the Servant Kings, he divides between these two uses of eternal life. on the one hand, given freely as a gift, on the other hand, renewed as a reward. So we'll just look at some of those scriptures now. And first, it will be those that are scriptures that have to do with eternal life given freely as a gift. And all the readers of the New Testament are familiar with the tremendous gospel promise of free gift of eternal life, and that this rich experience was obtained by faith alone, and is one of the key insights of the Reformation. So let's look at John 3:16. I've got these written down here, so I'll just read them, and I won't have to turn to them. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Zoen, aeonian, in the Greek. Life, age, lasting. Now that's talking about forever and ever and ever. But in the Greek, it's age, lasting. So the context here tells us that we're talking about that initial gift, free gift, with God forever in heaven. Now let's move on to John 5:24. I tell you the truth, Jesus says this, I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life, Zoen Aeonian, and will not be condemned. He has crossed from life to death. You can look at that and you can easily see that's talking about a free gift. But on the other hand, it is Zoen Aeonian, age lasting, is the Greek word in the translation. Let's move on now to John 6:40. For my Father's will is that everyone, this is Jesus talking again, my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, Zoen Aeonian, age-lasting life, and I will raise him up in the last day. So all these things have to do with just believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a free gift. It's not by works. So eternal life can be ours now on the condition that we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and there be no other conditions. There can't be any works that are mixed with this. So eternal life is ours now on the basis of faith alone. So those are scriptures that talk about eternal life given freely as a gift. And now here's some scriptures that talk about eternal life earned as a reward. Now first let me say that the phrase eternal life, Zoen Aeonian, or life age lasting, occurs 42 times in the New Testament. And its common meaning, most common meaning, is of the free gift of regeneration, which would be entrance into heaven on the basis of faith alone, and it's well documented. However, many are not aware of the fact that there are 11 times, 11 of those 42 usages, which would be 26%, eternal life is presented to the believer as something to be earned or worked for. So let's look at some of those scriptures. First would be Romans 2:7. To those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, immortality, he will give eternal life, Zoen Aeonian. That's age-lasting life. See, that's not a free gift to those who by persistence in doing good. Well, that sounds like works. That is that life of faith. We persist in the life of faith. We persist through trials and tribulations. We're seeking, as we do that, we're seeking glory, honor, immortality. And that is the reward. We're seeking the reward. That's the hope of glory there. He will give, God will give to that one life everlasting, life age-lasting. So the next scripture then would be Galatians 6:8. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature he will reap destruction. So that's a certain work that he does that's going to reap a bad reward. But the one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. See, we're sowing, we're doing something. This is a work. Eternal life, zoon, aionian, age, life, age lasting. Now let's move on to John 12:25-26. It says, the man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life, zoon aionian. So hating his life in this world would be like, it says in Matthew 16, to lose your life for my sake, Jesus said. That would be like hating your life. So this is something that you do. This is not just believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you do that, the result is eternal life, zoon aionian, age-lasting life. Whoever serves me must follow me. And where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. So this is talking about doing a work is to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, and the result is the honor, and that has to do with this eternal life. Now, Matthew 19:29, one scripture that we looked at last time we met. Everyone who has left houses and brothers and sisters and father and mother or children or fields for my sake will receive hundreds of times as much and will inherit, there's the word inherit, and it's associated with eternal life. Inherit eternal life, zoon aionian, inherit age-lasting life, inherit life for the age, inherit life in this millennial age to rule and reign with the Lord Jesus Christ. Dillo says that just as there are two kinds of inheritance and two dimensions of salvation, like salvation of the spirit, salvation of the soul, there seem to be two sides to eternal life. One that's related to salvation of the spirit, which is the free gift. One related to the salvation of the soul, which is the reward. There are other scriptures that we could cite for each of these aspects of eternal life, freely given. Eternal life is a reward. One of those that we could decide that has to do with eternal life as a reward is 1 Timothy 6:12, where Paul tells Timothy, fight the good fight of faith, take hold on eternal life, that's zoon aionian, to which you were called when you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So take hold of eternal life has to do with doing something to take hold of it, to obtain it. Well, let's finish with this by just looking at those scriptures again. I'm going to read through them slowly so we can let them sink in, so to speak. Verse 4 of Titus 3. But when the kindness of God our Savior and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, on whom He poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior. That's just a good explanation of initial salvation. And then he tells us what the purpose is, why he's saving us. We're saved for a purpose. I love to say that. We're saved for a purpose. That having been justified by his grace, we might be made heirs. Another wonderful gift. Heirs having the hope of eternal life. Now, this is an important statement of the faith. And Paul tells Timothy that. This is a trustworthy statement. And concerning these things, I want you to speak confidently. And why? So that those who have believed God may be careful to engage in good deeds. These things are good and profitable to men. So Paul's saying, Timothy, speak confidently about these things so that men will see a goal, have a goal out there. They see this great reward. They see the opportunity of ruling and reigning with Christ. They see the thing, that high calling that he has prepared them for, so that they will walk in faith, produce good fruit, and hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord." Now, I realize we've spent a great deal of time on this one passage, and our prayer is that this scripture will just speak volumes to you.
Yes, I do. Sometimes we can get a little too technical for people, but there may be someone there who really would like to know about this word, this Greek word, from the Strong's Greek Dictionary of the New Testament. And I just want to make it known to them that if they look it up in Strong's Dictionary of the New Testament, they won't find the word Ionian, but they'll find another form, which is Ionios. And it's spelled A-I-O-N-I-O-S. But others who use that word would say Ionian. However, if you look that up in Strong's, you'll find it at number 166. And as a scholar of word studies, you need to know this, that the first thing that's put there following the pronunciation is the most important thing. So when you look up Ionios there, you'll see that the first thing that's said about it is from 165. Now, it's word number 166, but it's telling you that it's a derivative built on 165. So you'll read on if you don't know that, and you'll see that the definition is perpetual, also used of past time or past and future as well. Eternal, forever, everlasting, world. And so you wouldn't get your definition there. What you need to do is be sure to do what it told you to do right from the first. Go to 165. Because if you look right above it at 165, you'll find the noun, ion. And there you find the main meaning that you need to find. And it tells you right there that it's from the same as 104, but you need to read 104. But it goes on to tell you properly an age. Now see, it doesn't tell you that in the adjective, but if you go to find that noun, it'll tell you that properly this word is used to indicate an age. But by extension, that's the second thing it tells you, by extension it can mean perpetuity. You see, that's just what Mark's been teaching. That first of all, it can mean an age, but then it can mean age upon age upon age, perpetuity. But it goes on to tell us something very interesting. By implication, it can mean the world. You'll find that in Hebrews, in the first chapters of Hebrews. Because when we think about the world, it was created in ages. God made the world, and he had certain ages in which he dealt with man certain ways. The first age was the age of innocence. And then there was the age of conscience. And then there was the age of law. And so on. Now that we're in the age of grace, and soon after this, we'll be in the age of glory. So God made the world and he dealt with man according to certain ages. So Ion, by implication, can refer to the world. And then it says that specially, S-P-E-C period, and it's in parentheses, Jewish, a messianic period, present or future. So that should tell us that the age that's really being referred to here, specifically, is that Jewish age of glory when the Messiah will rule as king over the earth. And then it goes on to give you a few more thoughts about it. Age, course, eternal, forever, beginning of, while the world began and without end. Anyway, you look that up, but be sure that you look back to the noun, because you won't get it just by looking up the adjective. I'd also like to add to this study right at the end of it. Do we have time? Some other references that you can go to learn more about this subject, because it's such a huge subject. We've only given the basics of it, and there are many studies of the Bride of Christ, many studies of the Kingdom of Christ, the reign of Christ over the earth, studies that have to do with the judgment seat of Christ. And I want to give you a few main sources that you can go to if you're interested in knowing more. I would recommend these four books to you. First one is a book by Jamie Lash called This Was Your Life. Another one by Charles Stanley called Eternal Security has a large segment that refers to disobedient believers, and it goes into the gaining or the loss of reward. Another one is called The Believer's Payday, and it's by Paul Benware. It's put out by AMG Publishers. And it's very good at dealing with the judgment seat of Christ. Another one is a small book called A Life God Rewards by Bruce Wilkinson, and that's from Multnomah Press. I also would like to refer you to a wonderful publishing company, Shuttle Publishing Company, and that Shuttle is spelled S-C-H-O-E-T-T-L-E. And the address of it is Post Office Box 1246, Hayesville, North Carolina, zip code 28904. Telephone is 706-896-3333. And the fax number is 706-896-3311. The publisher is a very kind gentleman named Lewis Shuttle, who would be glad to talk to you on the telephone. And if you ask him for an order form listing all of the books that he publishes, he will be glad to mail one to you. And there's just a wonderful group of selections there that you can read about the judgment seat of Christ, the rewards, the entrance into the kingdom, the bride of Christ, just many subjects that are related, many topics related to these subjects we've been discussing. One more person I would refer you to is a man named Arlen Chitwood, C-H-I-T-O-O-D. Arlen has a wonderful newsletter that's free that he'd be glad to send to you, and he has written probably 24 books. And he will give you a book list and let you know about how you can receive those books. Many of them we have received free, and I think he has given them to many people, so I don't even think he's charging for them yet. His address is The Lamp Broadcast Incorporated, and the address is 2629 Wyandot Way. You spell Wyandot, W-Y-A-N-D-O-T-T-E. Way, W-A-Y, it's in Norman, Oklahoma, zip code 73071. And if you prefer to use the internet, you can email him at alchitwood@icnet.net. That's A-L-C-H-I-T-W-O-O-D at I-C-N-E-T.net.
Carol, all of his books are on his website. So
yes,
they can be.
Yes, his website is www.lampbroadcast.org. You can see what they are there and choose some of those to read. They're wonderful. So that's, I guess, all I have to add.